The Upgrade, the podcast from the team at Lifehacker, where we help you improve your life one week at a time. I'm Alice Bradley, editor-in-chief of Lifehacker.
And I'm Jordan Calhoun, Lifehacker's deputy editor.
And I'm Claire Lower, Lifehacker's senior food editor.
And Claire, you're here today to help us figure out how to do Thanksgiving this year.
I am.
Or how to artfully skip it altogether. And that comes according to our guest today, chef and TV personality, Andrew Zimmern.
Right now, with the mix of young and old people, with folks having to travel and a raging pandemic that's killing hundreds of thousands of Americans, I think it's irresponsible for us to gather. I mean, and I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken.
Andrew is an Emmy and four-time James Beard Award-winning TV host. His previous shows include Bizarre Foods, Andrew Zimmern's Driven by Food, and The Zimmern List.
Andrew's latest show was called What's Eating America, which premiered back in February this year. And next year, he'll also be doing a show called Family Dinner.
It's also worth noting that Andrew does a lot of philanthropic work around food, from addressing hunger around the world to the issue of food waste. I'm personally excited to talk to him because I know he'll have some thoughtful answers to the question of, like, how do we even deal with Thanksgiving this year?
So, Claire, as our food, ultimate food authority, what are you doing for Thanksgiving this year? And how can we copy you?
I wish I knew. It's kind of complicated. So my dad is kind of the only family member I've seen this year. So probably something very small with him and my stepmom. And I'm going to try to convince him to let me cook a duck. But I don't think he's going to, because he's one of those like turkey or die people. But I'm gonna try to like make them. I've got my arguments laid out. Like, if we can't do a duck this year with a small group of people, when am I going to be able to do a duck?
If not now, when?
Exactly. But I might just end up doing a duck and a turkey is what's going to happen. And then just have leftovers
or
for a million
inside
years.
Inside the other. Am I coming up with something right now? Maybe.
Are you inventing? Wait, what if we got a chicken involved? What would we call it?
Chinduck Turk.
That's it. That's gold.
Brilliance.
Write it up.
We're very good. This is why we're live.
Heard it here. Potentially for the first time ever.
What was it? Chick Dirk?
Chin Duck Turk. I don't know why it's chin. I don't know why.
I almost said chin Dirk Cuck. It's a different thing. It's a different podcast.
Different.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes, Joe Rogan will make that one.
Alice, tell me your Thanksgiving plans. What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Alice?
So we're staying home, keeping it very small, but I am doing the cooking. I am making a turkey, but I don't really know why, because I don't really like turkey. But I do like the things that go around it and on it. So it's sort of like, it's like turkey is the bread.
Can I recommend, like, if you have a portion of the turkey you like, just cooking that really well?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, that's if your family all agrees. That's the difficult part. Like, some people, even within a tiny family, you have like white meat enthusiasts and then the dark meat ride or dies. I mean, I do think this is the year to just really go crazy with the protein. Like, think of how many really good steaks you could buy for the price of a turkey.
True.
But that doesn't go with stuffing.
Are turkeys expensive? I don't even know. I can't remember the last time.
They're actually not, but it's just that they're so, you know, you're always buying them and they're like 30 pounds. So it's like...
It's like 50 bucks, I feel like, is the average price for a turkey.
Is it really? God, yeah. I'm so ignorant to Thanksgiving type stuff, because my Thanksgiving is just to not have it. So like my sort of lifelong hack, or at least my adult life, has always been to go traveling around Thanksgiving so that I can maximize vacation days, because everyone would always give Thursday and Friday off. So I haven't done a sit down Thanksgiving with my family in, God knows, I can't remember the last time I've done it. So this type of year for me is like easy for me to skip, which makes it less of a big deal to me, you know, to have this conversation about how to have a pared down pandemic Thanksgiving or to skip it altogether. For me, I've sort of always skipped it.
See, in any given year, if this had been any other year, I'd be inviting you to my table, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm always like the orphan that people are like, oh, you don't have
like, no,
a family to have Thanksgiving.
To.
And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm going to go to China or something. But everyone's just like, no, you sad, sad boy. Come with me and I will feed you.
You're like, no, I think I want to go to China.
Yeah, like, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm traveling. They're like, listen to me. You are sad and pathetic.
Turn
now
around.
Come eat.
You are going
to
hang out
my table.
With my great uncle.
Yep.
Who is very right wing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been guests at many of different families' Thanksgiving tables.
Yeah. That's what you want is someone else's racist uncle.
Oh, man.
Such a delight.
Anyhow.
On that note, I am not going to be joining you for this interview. Guys, please don't be so upset.
We're going to try to carry on without you, Alice.
Please.
I'm actually devastated.
You get
okay.
through. You get through.
All right. Well, Alice, you handle what you need to do. Claire and I will press forward, and I look forward to hearing what we get from Andrew Zimmer. So, Andrew Zimmer, and welcome to The Upgrade.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you. I wanted to start off with, you know, we're obviously in the midst of a pandemic, and we've just finished this long, stressful election season. With all of this stress and all of this stuff that is going to be in addition to having a Thanksgiving meal and the stress that comes with that, like, what's the argument for even having a big Thanksgiving this year or having, you know, for cooking Thanksgiving? Are you planning on doing that?
Absolutely not. Typically, I host 70 to 80 people in my home over the course of the day. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. Well, tied for first with the Passover Seder. And the reason that I like those holidays above all others is they focus around food. There are no gifts involved. And they both have very important stories to tell. And I'm a storyteller. To me, Thanksgiving is all about gratitude. It's all about sitting down and sharing a meal with people with whom you seemingly have nothing but differences, and you find out you have a lot in common. I'm referring specifically to the first Thanksgiving between the indigenous peoples encountered by the pilgrims when they arrived in Massachusetts, what is now Massachusetts. And the Passover Seder, same thing, celebrates the freedom from bondage that the Jews endured for thousands of years in Egypt. Now, for Thanksgiving, we would normally have 20 to 30 family members in our home sharing the meal. And the other 50 or so would be the friends of ours who wouldn't sit at our table because they had to go to their own families, nuclear families, Thanksgiving. But they knew that we were cooking all day long. And so I started putting out, you know, like quiche and coffee and pastries in the morning for friends that were coming by on their way to grandma's, metaphorically speaking. Then we would always have dessert for a bazillion people at the end of the night for people who were coming home from grandma's but wanted to stop at our place because we wanted to see our friends that day. Even if it was a quick drive-by, I even would put out a big sort of like a bunch of noshes and nibbles after the breakfast stuff was cleared away because we would typically sit down at like 3 o'clock, 3:30 to eat our main meal. So from 8 in the morning till 11, there's pastries and quiche or whatever it was I was making. Then from 11 to 3 is all the hors d'oeuvre kind of stuff. And we'd have people just come by for a half hour, hour, and then our nuclear family of 20, 30 people would sit down and share the meal. Right now, with the mix of young and old people, with folks having to travel and a raging pandemic that's killing hundreds of thousands of Americans, I think it's irresponsible for us to gather that way this year. And I think that the numbers have been borne out. The research and the data is there from other resources. I mean, and I'm heartbroken. I'm heartbroken.
Yeah, was that an easy decision for you to make?
Very. The reason, Jordan, and by the way, you know, with ideas and new ideas and new ways of thinking, you have to connect bridge to land, right? Mm-hmm. You have to enroll people and you have to have some way to connect the bridge to land so that you can walk over that idea into a safe harbor, right? None of us are going to accept a new idea or a new way of doing things unless that bridge is connected to safe land, right? So if cars didn't have brakes on them and we watch people slide all over and get killed or crashes or whatever, we would all say to ourselves, you know, I'm not going to drive until they invent a brake, right? I mean, it's a pretty easy bridge to the land on that idea. I'm very engaged civically in a lot of different places. And so I was already, I've already dealt with, what are we now, 10 months into quarantine and shutting down my businesses and, you know, not having a job and all the other things that everyone else is going through. I'm already living that. I never thought that November would be easier because I knew we weren't going to have therapeutics and we weren't going to have a vaccine. And I knew that we had a administration that was abdicating responsibility for the public health. And I say that civically. Government's number one role, I think, is the health and welfare of its citizens. So a global and national pandemic that we now lead the world in, and not in a good way, in a bad way, in terms of caseload, virus spread, deaths, etc. I never, in June, I could have told you I was canceling Thanksgiving because you didn't have to be a crystal ball gazer.
That some really, type of mystic, soothsayer.
Soothsayer was going to, I've turned, Jordan, you're too young to turn into your parents. I have turned into my father and I was about to use the word soothsayer or shaman to predict the future. So yes, this was an easy decision for me. It's a very difficult decision for a lot of other people. The majority of Americans, underscore majority, because we know only less than 50% of people are mask wearers. Even I think some of the mask wearers, and I proudly am a mask wearer, have said, well, is it really going to get that bad? Is it really? And I said, there will come a time because it's a virus. It multiplies. We just saw a growth in caseload and deaths over the last week that is an accelerated, that happened in 1 week. The last time we saw that number was a 9-week period at the beginning. So over the course of 10 months, what took us 9 weeks to total up on the disease now is happening every week. That's how fast it's growing. I'm absolutely petrified about this thing. So yeah, for me, it was an easy decision. I know for most, it isn't.
So I'm seeing a lot of people pushing for, you know, taking the meal outside, getting heat lamps and all that stuff. Like, do you even think that that's a viable solution? Because you're still, even if you do, okay.
Yes, because I think everyone has to take into account. I mean, look, there are things that you can do. If you insist on doing it, then I would insist you do everything you can to mitigate transmission within your own space.
Do you have any suggestions on how to do that?
Well, there's lots of them. I mean, you go on the CDC website and take a look. There's really smart advice there. Obviously, masks all the time. If you're going to be around young people and people who are older, and especially anyone, young, middle-aged or old, who has any comorbidity issues, right? I mean, anything, whether it's severe allergies to diabetes to... You know, something more serious. Well, those are serious things, but you get where I'm going with this. Any type of comorbidity, I would recommend N95 masks because then you're assured of it. Doctors are now saying it's now common wisdom that, like, for walking around the apartment building or taking trash outside, one of these cloth masks is fine, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone, a lot of people are wearing them. However, what doctors have now started saying in the last week is that because of the transmission issues, this does not work if you're going to be exposed for more than 15 minutes to other human beings, right? So there's that time thing. So Thanksgiving is a couple of hours. Right. So you don't want a cloth mask. You want an N95 mask, or at the very least, you want one of those blue surgical masks. They're kind of flimsy. They're disposable. I keep a box at my house, in my car. We have them here in our office. I love them because they retard transmission of those vaporized molecules that we know now can hang in the air for, I think it's, what did they say, 2 or 3 hours? So you don't want to go inside. If you can do outside, and this is a mistake, I saw a friend of mine asked me the same question. They said, we're going to do it outside. And I have the tent being delivered today. And I'm like, whoa. I said, what do you mean tent? Like, do you mean tent with the sides rolled up? And he's like, well, no, we're doing it outside, but I have to have a tent so people stay warm. And so I said, you're just
canopy or a tent. Yeah. Yeah.
It's another room. That's not outdoors. However, a covering will gain you 15 degrees, depending on where you place it. Hopefully on the lee side of a hill, you don't want to be anywhere breezy where there's a lot of wind coming through. But put something covered with everything rolled up and put some heaters in there so that you can keep people warm. And that would be appropriate. Maintain, I mean, the CDC, I think, has gone from 6 to 8 to 10 feet of distance. I mean, you know, spread people out. I did recommend to a friend that they might want to do what I did with dessert with their family, which is everyone, even if it's just a couple or sadly, you know, an old lonely man like me, Thanksgiving alone in front of the TV with my little aluminum foil Swanson dinner.
I don't believe that's the reality.
But then, Claire, I'm an orphan. So, I mean, make all the fun you want. Why do people, I mention this to my friends all the time. I'm 59 years old and my parents had me when they were late in life. They both had very long, full, happy lives, but sadly they're no longer with us. So when I make mention to people that I'm an orphan, why do 59-year-old orphans get much less sympathy than other orphans? It's an orphan bias.
You're right. Well, I just say that the TV tray, I don't believe the aluminum TV tray part.
Gosh darn it, you had me. You're right, I am not doing that. But the point is, I may put an outdoor, you know, it's going to be snowing here in Minnesota, but I may raise the door on my garage. We have a hot air intake, we have a heater in my garage because when the garage was built, it was less expensive to put a external heater that pipes in and do the duct work to connect it to the HVAC. But here in Minnesota, you need a heated garage, right? So I have this thing that keeps the garage at like 55 degrees. So if I move everything out of it and I open the window in the garage, the side door, which is on the, and the front thing, I can bring 2-3 people at a time in shifts to have a piece of pie and a cup of coffee and sit 15 feet away from them and tell them that I love them and that I'm grateful for them to be in my life. And I think the spirit of the holiday is not having 20 people piled into a downstairs room, giving each other COVID, watching the football games, complaining that they eat too much turkey. I think the spirit of the holiday is to tell people we love them and that we're grateful for them in our lives. And I think that's the universality of this holiday that I love so much. So I'm going to try to key in on that. And if that works, that works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Hi, I'm Danielle Belton, editor-in-chief of The Root.
And I'm Maisha Kai, managing editor of The Glow Up.
And this September, we're excited to bring you The Root Presents It's Lit.
It's Lit is a podcast where we talk about all things literature, literally.
More specifically, Black literature.
And we have some incredible guests lined up, including Nicole Hannah-Jones.
The last thing I want is us to produce anything like the Green Book. Really?
Ijoma Alu.
Why this book? You know, why aren't we all picking up the How to Burn Down the System book? You know, like, why can't we do that right now?
The venerable Claudia Rankine.
I can't really separate the subject out from the structure. And the two things for me are actually what makes writing exciting.
And so many more brilliant Black authors, writers, and thought leaders.
We're speaking with some of the most distinguished voices in Black literature about their work, the books that influence them, and a lot more.
So please join us every Friday for some thought-provoking conversations. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And keep it lit.
Whoop, whoop.
I'd love to hear your food advice on this, because what I imagine is across the country, people are going to make a big shift to doing it outdoors, where if it's warm enough, or they'll make it warm enough artificially.
The southern half of the country is fully capable
of doing this. It'll definitely be warm enough.
I live on the Canadian border, right? So, I mean, just for listeners, Minnesota, who may not know this, we are in the middle of the Great Plains. We're in the upper Midwest, and the northern border of our state is Canada. So we already have a foot of snow on the ground, and, you know, it's 26 degrees here today for a high. So we can't do it outdoors, but everyone in the lower half of the country, generically speaking, obviously if you live in Appalachia in the mountains or in any of the southern extension of the Rockies, you're going to be too cold. So wherever you can, there's a lot of people who can celebrate outdoors.
And if you have a house with a lawn and you have this outdoor space that's near your kitchen, then I imagine that's a lot easier than people who are in cities who might be using public parks or might use areas where they're not as close to where it is that they would be cooking. If you were one of those people in a city, I live in New York, and the weather here is sort of precarious. It might be warm enough where people would feel comfortable doing it in parks. It might be too cold. If people were doing it in an outdoor space that's not going to be super close to their kitchen, are there certain things that you would, if you were doing this, are there certain things that you would prepare or think to cook that might be outside of what's traditionally served on Thanksgiving to make that sort of that distance more accommodating?
You know something, you two, and I'm not blowing smoke where I shouldn't, I get interviewed all the time about Thanksgiving. You are asking the best questions. So I'm a New Yorker, mm-hmm. Born and bred. You know, public space is going to be eaten up there a lot. And you don't want to be amongst crowds. That sort of defeats the purpose, right? One of the things that is a tradition in our family, oysters were served at the first Thanksgiving. It was a common part of the diet of the indigenous peoples at the time. And it was a common part of the diet of the English who sailed over, right? We know historically that both the indigenous peoples and the white Europeans both shared a love of shellfish. So a long time ago, someone's uncle complained about oyster stuffing, and it just went away for most Americans. In our family, going back two generations, being East Coasters, our family loved oysters. And so one of the things that would be served, it would typically, when I was younger, it was on the buffet table, was oyster chowder. Delicious, creamy, potatoes and fennel and onion and carrot and celery and oysters, cooked in their own liquor, maybe seasoned with a little bit of Old Bay. I think that was my mother or father's recipe. Over the years, I've zhuzhed up a fancier, I think easier version of it. And I put a soup tureen that, you know, electric one, by the door. And when people come in the door in my house, everyone takes off their shoes and their coats because it's cold here. And I would put a mug of soup in their hands. Something magical happens when you put a hot mug of soup in someone's hand. So if I was living in New York and I wanted to gather with my four or five cousins and family members that are still living in the Big Apple, I might look now on Amazon. You can get, you know, thermos devices, things that hold food at a warm temperature. And maybe it's even going into your closet and getting that box out that has 25 of those free coffee mugs that every company in the world sends you. I know you both get one a week. Don't lie to me. You do. It's one of those like thermos cups to drink coffee out of, right? That everyone, like every fulfillment service in the world, every company throws a logo on them and sells and sends you one. I typically put them into a thing here at work so that if we ever have, but you know, if you have five or six family members, gather up some of those and get a thermos and pour some soup and let people walk around with a, you know, a disposable cup, you know, get some paper cups and share something hot and warm together outside. Sit on your stoop, socially distanced, and share some oyster chowder together. Do something like that that allows you to be outside, that's nurturing, that's in the spirit of the holiday, that's warming. Sitting outside, if it's 40 degrees out in New York, and sipping a mug of hot soup is, I mean, you'll definitely loosen your scarf. There's no doubt about it. You may even take off your hat, unbutton a couple buttons on that coat. You're going to get so warmed up. And I think that's a really nice thing to do.
I think that's lovely.
Well, it's better than passing out cold turkey sandwiches.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And I like the idea. Remember, keeping moving is important. Going on a walk has always been a wonderful way to spend time with my nuclear bio family. You know, we would do after dinner walks. It's an activity that's safe. It's better than sitting around a stuffy basement room and playing Rummy Cube or watching football. By the way, I love Rummy Cube and I love watching football. I'm just not going to do it this year with 20 people piled into the TV room.
Right. I know you're interested in food waste and sustainability as well. And keeping in mind those people who will in some way or fashion have a Thanksgiving gathering this year, are there any suggestions or advice you have for how people can minimize their food waste or can donate afterwards? What should people do when they're having, you know, these big holidays where they're cooking a lot, whether they should be or not?
I keep hearing the song White Lies in my head. Don't do it! Here's the thing. I would suggest people don't. I would beg people don't. The public health is the most important thing that we have in this country. I liken the responsibility of our behavior to each other in this pandemic. I put it on the same footing. I wear a mask for two reasons, because I care about you, and then also because I care about me, right? And that's really a way of talking about the public health. So I would encourage people not to. I also just think there's too much sadness. We've lost too many people. Do you really want grandma to get sick? I don't. You know, so, and of course, the data changes every week because it's a novel coronavirus, which means new, which means it hasn't been studied a lot. But we do know that young people, percentage-wise, are less susceptible, but they're also percentage-wise our highest carriers of this. And so young people congregating in bars on Thanksgiving evening, you know, or bringing all the kids home is, you know, and their friend, oh, hey, mom, dad, I'm bringing my roommates in. Any other year, sure. This year, it's like, we can't do that, right? Mm-hmm. It's a really, really tough one, but the public health is paramount. So I would encourage people not to. And you can cook smaller things. You don't need to waste food. If there are just two, three, four of you in your nuclear, in your little bio family, or maybe because a lot of people have been socializing in what's referred to as a pod, right? In our state, you can't gather now, as of yesterday, in groups of more than 10 or greater than three families to account for some of this neighborhood podding that necessarily was happening. So let's say you're going to do Thanksgiving with what you consider to be your safe group. So there are a lot of things that you can do. Cook your turkey in an alternate way. Get a small one. They sell 12 to 16 pound birds. You can take the dark quarters off and do something with them later in the week and just roast what's called the airline breast, the full breast with both sides. Super, super, you could save the frame and actually stuff it. That breast will cook in much less time. You could do it in a rack. You could cut the breasts and legs and thighs off of a turkey frame or ask your butcher to do it and grill them and do stuffing in a smaller container and then eat off that grilled turkey for days afterwards. You could not grill it and just roast a small bird, but shop in mind with making turkey soup, turkey tetrazzini, turkey a la king. Those are things that can be put in containers and frozen. So a little bit of menu planning is smart. What I'm doing this year, and I'm actually teaching a demo on it, I think at some point next week to a group that asked this very question. I'm taking a turkey breast, boneless, both lobes attached by the skin, and I'm going to butterfly it and put stuffing inside it and roll it up and tie it and roast it. Going to make my gravy separately with some bones and chicken wings and other stuff with fortified stock. And I'm going to throw that into my oven so that I can slice boneless circles of that delicious turkey, stuffed turkey with gravy. So I'm honoring everything, but I'm only going to have a roast that's like 3 or 4 pounds. And so it's just enough to feed the small group that I may have a leftover so I can make a sandwich. But usually I have second dinner for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
You know, so late at night, I eat it all over again. The subject of waste, though, is very, very important. I mean, the biggest, you know, we can handle waste for one day. You can make some smart choices. I think the biggest thing for people is to not to buy big refrigerators. You know, in the 50s and 60s, as the middle class exploded in America, the big manufacturing companies made really big fridges. kind of in cahoots with the supermarket industry, right? So it's like the best way to get Americans to spend money was to give them inexpensive, giant-sized refrigerators so that you could shop for tons of food all the time. Well, that increases food waste dramatically. I don't need to shop for everything for a whole week. I actually can go a couple of times and use that time spiritually, right? I don't have to look at it as a chore or a burden. It's okay to run into the store. It's okay for someone to text me and say, can you buy a pound of carrots on your way home? And obviously, if you're a family of six or eight, by all means, you should have a big refrigerator. But it's filling that thing up that's created the largest amount of waste. We also have to get rid of freshness dating on foods. One of the most dangerous and insidious con jobs in the history of modern food world was companies putting freshness dating on packages of cheese and yogurt and canned goods and stuff like that. I mean, it's like, if it's bad, it's bad. Throw it out. If it's old, throw it out. But yogurt is good for months in your fridge. They freshness date it a couple weeks, you know, in time so that you throw it out and buy more. I would just encourage people to buy less. Doctors tell us to eat less. Psychiatrists and caregivers and spiritual people of all kinds tell us to do less, right? We're too busy. Less, 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 less. That doesn't mean monastic living. I'm a lotus eater. I mean, I'm the poster child for lotus eating. I'm all about that stuff, but it's like, we don't eat the right way in America. And it's obviously, I mean, look, we're spending $1.5 trillion a year on the big four food-related diseases. I mean, we're clearly not doing a good job on what we're putting into our bodies.
And I know you bring up meat as an accent, which I think is an amazing idea. Like, do you think people should translate that even to like Thanksgiving? Like you said, instead of getting the big turkey and making that the main, like maybe focus on vegetable sides and then...
Well, Thanksgiving is actually one of the few times of the year where we kind of get it right. So, I mean, if you think about it, and I'm not... Let's not argue about whether or not these are healthy choices. Let's just call them vegetables. Because most people take sweet potatoes. They put a pound of butter, two cups of sugar, and a bag of marshmallows on top of it so that everyone likes to eat it, right? So it's like that's more sugar than a Snickers bar, right? But let's not pass judgment on that. You have a turkey, and then you've got roasted Brussels sprouts, and you've got your sweet potato mash, and you have grandma's three bean salad that she always brings and someone else bring, right? So you've got all these different, you know, there's broccoli hot dish here in Minnesota. Thanksgiving is one of the, you know, sweet and sour onions. I mean, Thanksgiving is one of the few times of the year where people are putting four or five vegetable side dishes out around their meat. Mm-hmm. We should be doing that more often. My point is at Thanksgiving, you slice the whole bird, people can get 2, 3, 4 ounces of meat at a time, right? 4 ounces is the recommended portion for meat. And then you get a lot of vegetable sides with that. I'm not advocating that it's all the healthiest. I mean, there's an unhealthy version to all those sides and there's all those desserts afterwards. But if you want to look at a holiday where we sort of are set up a little bit for success, that'd be Thanksgiving. I would encourage people the whole year round to do that. You don't have to put a whole pork chop on everyone's plate. We know that here in America, for our climate, for our economic sustainability, for our, every way that you can measure sustainable living and responsibility to Mother Earth, we have to eat less meat. Have to, as a country.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Absolutely. This is making me feel a whole lot better about the very low-key Thanksgiving I plan on having this year.
Okay, well, here's what I would leave everybody with. You know, we have an obligation to our society as human beings to act in accordance with what is best for everyone. That is a piece of selflessness that we need more of in America. You can't think your way into right acting, but you can act your way into right thinking. This is about treating other people with kindness, dignity, and respect, and caring as much about your fellows as you do about yourself. I use fellows in the non-gender related definition. I just think we need to do some things differently to get a different outcome, because what we've been doing isn't working. And I would just encourage people at this time of year, when we tend to be a little more other-centered, to really take that to heart. It's an important time of year for that.
That's great. That's great. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
No,
really
thank you.
Really appreciated having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate
great
it. Nice to meet you all.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Now it's time for our upgrade of the week, where we talk about that one tiny thing that's making a big difference in our lives. Claire, what's your upgrade this week?
I have a very sexy upgrade of the week. I got a space heater for my bathroom.
What? Are there special space heaters specific for humidity and moisture and stuff?
No, so, it's
no,
just a regular.
Is unsafe.
This is just. Yeah, no, it's okay. That's a good point. I didn't really think about safety because I'm.
As they say, guys, safety third.
Because I was so cold. Like, the heat, there's one heating unit in my apartment and it just does not reach the bathroom. And I also have to keep the bathroom window open most of the time because there's no venting situation. I'm moving soon, but there's no venting situation. So there's been like a mold issue. It's, like I said, very sexy. So between the colds and it being like also very damp in there, I got a little ceramic, like a $30 ceramic heater.
Are you just resting it on the edge of the tub?
Mm-hmm. No, it's actually in the toilet.
Oh, that's
just
nice. That's
it
warm.
There.
Yeah. And that coupled with the bidet, it's just a spa-like experience.
Nice.
No, it's
nice.
Just on
you
the floor.
You get it hot enough, you can, have a nice sauna.
Yeah.
Even when you're not in a hot shower.
Just you a butt sauna.
Oh my God, a butt sauna. You know what I want is one of those towel warming rods. Want a hot
they're
towel.
Like everywhere in Europe.
Do they sell those for homes? Do they sell
they
home
do.
Versions of those?
They do.
Those are things I've only experienced in hotels.
They do, but they're like, I don't know. I don't know what you got to do to get them installed.
You got to know a guy. You got to know a guy.
Got to know a guy.
They do seem mysterious. Mm-hmm. Like, where does the electricity? I mean, I'm assuming the wall.
Right.
Like, all the electricity comes from the wall.
I assume the wall. It's not someone
always
turning on a generator with bicycle pedals to keep that towel warmer warm.
Right.
Anyway, Alice, what's your upgrade?
Thank you so much for asking, Claire. So, like everyone else, I'm living in a perpetual state of nervous exhaustion, and I've been really relying on CBD oil, true to my brand. Anyway, I use it for sleep. So I was using it during the day and it felt wrong because the branding clearly says sleepy times. But now they make one for the daytime, and I might just be a sucker for packaging and, advertising, but it seems like it has helped my mood. Here's my little thing. Sometimes I'm just like in the middle of calls to discuss,
take a swig
to discuss business. And I'm just, but it has, in addition to CBD oil, it's got THCV, which I don't know. I was reading about it. They're doing new studies. It seems like it cures everything. It gives you more hair and you lose weight and you're happier and a better person. I don't know, but it's definitely seems to be something that helps me not need more coffee. Like I'm not feeling as tired, but I am
feeling. Yeah, is this like a morning thing or throughout the day?
It's supposed to be, I'm going to take it throughout the day. It might be a morning thing. It's like, wait, see, full of uppers. Huh. It's a weird thing to say on the bottle.
That's what sold Alice right off the bat, full of uppers.
I mean, gives you so much pep.
What does it taste like?
It's not as disgusting as other CBD oils. It mm-hmm. has sort of a vaguely evergreen taste mm-hmm. slash scent. I don't think it's as bad. I have tried others, but I do have a friend I recommended this brand to who had not ever tried CBD oil, and she couldn't get over how gross it was. But maybe I'm just used to it tasting bad.
They don't have pills. I can't do liquid like medicines at all.
Really? Mm-mm. Do you have to put this under your tongue too for like a minute? You wouldn't enjoy it. Oh,
that's a no-go. But I love that for you.
That's the important part.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade for me. Jordan, what's your upgrade?
So Alice, as you mentioned, there's a lot of stress and anxiety, particularly this year, particularly this time of year. And there's one source of that is right here on our phones, which is, do you ever look at the Screen Time app and feel guilty about the amount of time that you spend on your phone?
Well, I get the report. It gets shot to
that,
me.
You get a notification every Sunday, I think.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, telling you just how much time you've been on your phone. And I guess it was well-intentioned. The idea was that if you were aware, you know, things that get measured get managed. And if you're aware of how much you pick up your phone and how much you're on it, then it would reduce it. But for a lot of people, it just fucking sucks to be reminded that you spent 10 hours a day on your phone. So my hack is something that a lot of people, I guess, don't realize, but you can just turn that shit off. And it's pretty easy to do. So if you swipe left, if you have the new iPhone, you could swipe left and go into your Screen Time widget, or you can go into the app for Screen Time, scroll to the bottom, and it'll just say, turn it off. And you can turn that entire feature off so you won't get the notifications and it won't keep track of how much time you're spending. And then you can just, you know, use your phone the way that you would normally use it without worrying and tracking and thinking about the amount of hours that you're spending on each one of those. So if you don't like those notifications on Sunday, if you don't like even the idea of keeping track of how much time you're spending on your phone because you feel comfortable with the amount that you're on your phone, then turn off the Screen Time notification, turn off that tracking setting, and move on with your life.
That's the kind of advice that I feel like, well, of course, obviously, but I haven't done it. And every Sunday I get the damn notification.
Yeah.
And it's like the opposite of the dopamine rush you get from other notifications.
Just an instant downer. Oh. Just instant womp womp. Every time.
It's the worst possible time on Sunday too. It's like, it's the middle of like the sun is starting to go down because it's winter and darkness is coming. And it's like, and by the way, you're a failure.
I realize just how many people hate it and just how many people don't know how to turn it off on Twitter, because every now and then it'll go viral when people send screenshots of like, this is how much time I've been spending on my phone lately, especially around the election where people were just refreshing the results over and over again and they were always checking and people were just sending screenshots and talking about how much they hate it. But you can absolutely turn it off. So if you don't like it, go into that widget, scroll down to the bottom, get rid of it.
Is this already on? Wait, is this an app that you downloaded or is this something that your phone just does?
This comes default with any iPhone. I don't know if Android does it as well. What version of iPhone do you have? If it's an older version, it might not.
It's a 7 because I'm poor.
If it's an older operating system. If it's an older one, it might not have it. If it's any one of the newer iPhone, if it's any one of the newer iOSs, then it'll do it by default. And that's a feature that you should be grateful that you don't have.
That wouldn't work on me anyway, because I can't be shamed.
That's your most endearing quality.
It's your greatest strength.
My favorite thing about Claire is just the beautiful, wonderful shamelessness of her.
Thank you. We
are definitely alike in many ways, Claire, and that is one way we are the exact opposite of each other. I am composed of shame.
I mean, I'm composed of insecurities, but it's all self, like outer forces can't shame
me.
Yeah,
you're like, I can criticize myself way better than you guys could. So what you say to me can't hurt me. I've said far worse things to myself.
I'm like a sponge for shame. I'm like, you need to have, I'm like, sure, just give it, just, I just get larger. Like a shame loofah. Like just
not to quote Girls, but I'm going to quote Girls, that part where Lena Dunham's like, if like anything you're going to say about me, I've already said to myself and it's worse. Like, and that's a hack. That's not a hack. Don't be mean to yourself, kids. It's terrible. All right.
And that's our show. The Upgrade is produced by Michaela Heck and mixed by Brad Fisher.
Please write us on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review too. It'll really help us out. And don't you want to help us out? You can also reach us by calling us at 347-687-8109 and leaving us a voicemail, or you can email us at upgrade@lifehacker.com.
You can also find us on Twitter @Lifehacker, on Instagram @lifehacker.com, all one word, and on Facebook @facebook.com/lifehacker. Sign up for Lifehacker's daily newsletter, full of tips and tricks and hacks at lifehacker.com/newsletter. And you can find show notes for this and every episode of The Upgrade at lifehacker.com/the show. Anywho is all. Jordan, you got to do it.
Any hoozle. That's a normal thing that normal people say.